You are tuned in to Faith City Outreach with Marina Maria, the founder of Global Gospel Worship Radio. Marina interviews local pastors and global leaders, sharing their testimonies and the work they're doing for the Lord. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus reminds us, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We hope this program will encourage you to do just that. Now here's your host, Marina Maria.
Welcome to Faith City Outreach. This is Marina Maria with today's special guest, Eleni, who is a multi-award-winning Canadian Christian artist, producer, and songwriter. Her sound is warm, and her tone is rooted in encouragement that the gospel music brings. Eleni was awarded the GMA Songwriter of the Year in 2017, and in 2022, she was a GMA Covenant Award nominee and the Canadian West Spiritual Artist of the Year. She is both Greek and a Métis citizen and is proud to bring such cultural diversity to the ever-growing table of Christian gospel artists. Thank you so much, Eleni, for being on Faith City Outreach to share how the Lord is using you to spread encouragement and hope in Jesus through your music to this generation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Eleni, we all have a Jesus story. Please briefly share your Jesus story.
Part of my story starts with just being born and raised in a complicated home. I had an alcoholic father and a mom who worked a lot. And so I would go to church on the weekends with my grandparents, who are very rooted in their faith, and they're actually missionaries in the Ukraine. And so part of that journey, I think, has just kind of propelled me into the ministry that I'm in today. I walked away from the Lord for a long period of time during my tween and teen years, and then God found me and pulled me right back in, and his grace was just so sufficient for me in that season. So, and here I am.
Amen. You did say that you went to church often. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it was just, we had this incredible church dynamic growing up, and it was, you know, I'm a little older, I'm a lot older now than I was, of course, then, and I hear some of the things that had gone on that I was so unaware of, because I was just so in love with, like, the program and the people and the music, and it was such a wild and cool environment to be raised in. I would never change that for the world. So my grandparents are very prayerful people, and part of the journey and my testimony of coming back to the Lord was actually my grandparents and my grandmother praying for me and praying that Jeremiah 29:11 over my life. Mm-hmm. And then when my husband, who at the time was just a random boy in my life named Jeremiah, came into my life, and he pulled me back into the arms of the Lord through just a friendship. And I remember going up to him and saying, "I think I've finally found who I've been praying for." It was wild. So those two are so important for both my journey in being, you know, just having a relationship with God as a young girl, but then also coming back to the Lord as well.
Wow. That is humorous, but also it's God, you know. God has a sense of humor, but he's also always intervening in our lives.
Mm-hmm, totally.
When did the Lord call you to sing Christian gospel music?
I was probably 8 years old. I always get my age is so, no one actually really remembers the age that they were ever, but for some reason, 8 feels like the right age at this point. I was around that age, and I was still pretty short. Like, I wasn't, you know, my teenage size. I don't know if that's relevant here, but it is important. I was at my grandparents' church. It was service. We had a special speaker come in for the weekend, and he was just preaching his sermon. And back then, of course, sermons were like an hour plus. So I was sitting there and chewing my gum and doodling, you know, doing the things. And because it was a special speaker, we didn't get to go downstairs for kids' church. We had to stay up. And of course, that was kind of infuriating as a younger version of myself. I loved kids' church. So I'm sitting there, and I remember him calling out this random, like, he's in the middle of a conversation, or he's in the middle of a sermon, sorry, and he just says out of nowhere, he's like, "We need to pray for that girl." And everybody, like, he points to me, everybody turns and looks at me, and of course I'm like, me? Like, I'm not even listening right now. I'm not even paying attention. And all of a sudden I stood, like he called me out into the aisle. I stood up and all of a sudden all these people put their arms, I can't really show you, I guess they put their arms over me like this, and they just started praying over me. And I say, you know, I was short, and because it just felt like I was so little in that moment. And I remember looking up and seeing all these arms just outstretched over top of me. And there was a group of people praying over me. And he said that this girl, this young lady, is going to be used mightily by God in the gift of language, which I remember thinking, okay, I mean, I'm in school right now for French and I know French. So maybe I'll work with like some government dignitaries, maybe I will, you know, do some translating when I'm older, like I don't know. And as my journey has just happened and certain things have happened and relationships and people and music has just absolutely been the burden that I cannot just seem to let go. It's the anointing and the calling in my life. I keep going back to that moment and just thinking like, music is a language. Music is a universal language. Music is the language. I mean, we sing when we're in heaven, like that. It's part of how we communicate. And so I find it interesting. I still am fluent in French and I still can pick up languages, and that is something that I'm gifted with. But I think the root of that prophecy, if you want to call it that, over my life had a lot to do with music. And so I would say that that's when I probably understood that there was something maybe a little bit different about me. And then I've just naturally kind of pursued it with skill and time. And
do you ever think that you might sing in French in the future?
Well, it's funny that you should say that. This is so crazy. I can't even believe this is probably the first time I'm actually saying this out loud. So between the two of us and everyone listening to this broadcast, but the first week of May is our Canadian National Prayer Breakfast. And I have a friend who is a member of parliament. She's a very dear friend of mine. And she reached out and asked if I would be interested in singing at our National Prayer Breakfast. And of course, I'm just like shaking in my boots because I think like, man, I can hardly sing in English sometimes without freaking out and getting so nervous. And she's asking me to actually sing the national anthem in French, which I can do it, but I'm like so nervous. But that's just a very small portion of it. I was actually asked to come and lead worship on Parliament Hill, which is like equivalent to maybe your White House, and sing and lead worship on the House floor. And it's just going to be so cool. So the French aspect of that is actually happening in real life. And I've never experienced like the feeling of like almost this like, okay, this is what I was made for. This is, it's happening. All the things, like all my worlds are kind of colliding in one moment. And it's, yeah, so I'm super excited. And I see the hand of God in it for sure. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
Yes, I think that is a wonderful opportunity for you. I mean, especially if you know the language so well, you can also reach another population. I mean, yeah, that's so amazing. Absolutely. God is definitely going to bless it. And definitely it's going to expand his kingdom. I could just see it. I'm curious to find out, what is something that you cannot, as a Christian gospel singer, cannot compromise in the work that you do for the Lord?
That is such a good question. And I've really been thinking a lot about this lately. And I think one of the biggest things that has been sort of top of mind for me in this particular vein would be just my values in modesty. Like I see so many people in the industry, in the Christian music industry to be specific, and you would never really know like that they're a child of God based on how they, and I'm not saying modesty just based on how they dress and how they look. I'm saying like modesty as a whole. Like, you know, you hear stories about preachers and people and all over the world who are, you know, so rich and so this, and they won't fly, you know, coach, they won't drive, and so the modest heart posture that comes from just knowing who you are in Christ and understanding that that in itself is enough, and you don't need to try so hard to be more. And yeah, that does encompass for me and in my walk with the Lord, it does encompass how I dress and how I look and making sure that I am representing Christ in a way that pleases him. But you know, it's a heart thing. It shows on the outside, but really it's a reflection of what is on the heart. So modesty, I would say all around, is something that I pray that will never change and will just, you know, become actually stronger within me.
Well, that's a beautiful response. I've actually never heard of that, but I mean, we in this, especially in this day and age and in this culture, we forget about that. We forget about the modesty, and we've kind of went away or have gone away from it, and especially even humility, you know, both of them kind of go hand in hand. And so That is something so beautiful. And it's so Christ-like too. I have heard that many Christian gospel singers eventually changed to singing mainstream pop music. Do you see yourself doing this in the future?
I mean, I sing and write all types of music. Not all of it gets released, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think behind every song, and this is something I could literally talk for hours about, so I'm going to condense it and just maybe a tiny little blurb, but there is a heart, there's a spirit, I should say, behind the music that you listen to, mm-hmm. whether it's Christian or not Christian. You can tell if you're a sensitive or spiritually sensitive individual, you can tell. And I'm seeing you nod your head right now, and it looks like you kind of have that sensitivity to say, you know, these lyrics are clean and there's nothing inherently bad about this song, but it just doesn't feel right. You know what I'm saying? And there's songs that are Christian and that are out there, and they're just like, something doesn't sit right about this, or vice versa. You know, there's really great, amazing songs out there that are like popular and good and have nothing to do with Christianity, but they feel weird when you listen to it. And so I have written so many songs that have nothing to do with God, in a sense of like, I'm not saying Jesus, I'm not singing about, you know, a particular Christian value or whatever. But the heart behind it is like, it's pure. And I'm talking songs about like my marriage to my husband, songs about like feeling disappointed, songs about heartbreak, songs about raising kids, like being a mom, that aren't like super cheesy. They're just struggling and talking about the struggles and the wins and the beauty in it all. So I don't know if you say mainstream in the sense of like being on the Billboard top 100, probably not, but mainstream pop, as in singing things that maybe don't inherently point directly to the Lord. Yeah, I have a ton of songs that I hope to release someday that aren't as Christian sounding as the ones I'm putting out right now. And if I don't ever put them out, that's okay. It's just, they're songs for me that are important and they have so much meaning. And I'm hoping and praying that the spirit behind those songs, which is pure and modest, as we had mentioned, and rooted in humility, that they would point people to Christ. I don't know if that answers. I went around the...
It's a wonderful answer. I think you beautifully explained it very well. I'm curious to find out if your music has changed over the years.
Totally. Absolutely. I've written songs from as far back as I can remember. I've been a songwriter. So it's been about like songs about my dog, songs about whatever, my mom and dad, songs about whatever. And as I grow and mature and evolve as a person, so does my craft. And I've also gotten stronger as a songwriter, I would say, because I've really worked on it and I continue to work on it. So finding better ways to say basic things, you know, that's something that I'm always trying to do. And yeah, my style has changed, but I think the style of music that I've listened to has also changed, which kind of impacts what I'm creating without, you know, copycatting anybody. It's just like what you listen to, what goes in comes out. So yeah, over time, I think it's just, it's bound to change. So, and I love it. I welcome it.
Eleni, what is the Lord putting in your heart to write and sing about next?
So this project that I'm about to be putting out soon, which I'm so excited about, is very pop. There's lots of genre crossovers. So there's pop, there's rock, there's like a little bit of like jazz and kind of like cool feelies in there. But the themes were pretty strong. Like the song I had just put out called No Place Here is very like, it's sassy and it's like kicking fear to the curb and saying like, you have no place here. I have one that's like fully on about suicide, and it's like visual, it's deep, it's dark, but yet you feel hope in it. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They're all very personal and they're all very, like, they have their own little flair. What I want to do and what I feel a draw to do is something that I've actually been running away from, and that's to write more congregational worship. Whether that happens or not, I'm not sure, but I have songs and I've written with people recently and have come with these like incredibly beautiful worship songs, and I'm like, oh, what do I do with these? Like, this isn't really my thing right now. So I'm hoping that maybe I can cross over into that soon.
What advice or wisdom would you give to upcoming new Christian gospel singers?
Just do it. Just do it. Do the thing. Learn how to operate a DAW, a digital audio workspace. Like, learn Logic or GarageBand or Pro Tools. Put some time and effort and a little bit of money into that. Write songs with as many people as you can. get better at it, record demos, and just start like putting them out there, asking people for feedback. Don't take everything so personally. It's okay. But as long as you start, that is the key thing, because a lot of people will scare themselves out of starting. And then I feel like they're walking away from something that the Lord might be calling them to, you know, propel his gospel. So just do the thing. Just do it. I'm like the Nike girl. Just do it.
Good. And I'm curious to find out, how do you confront resolve? How do you deal with criticism?
Honestly, no one can criticize me more than my own person. Like, no one has worse things to say about me than the voices that are in my head. So you can criticize me. You can say what you want, but I probably have something worse to say to myself, and I can beat it. So I'm so not bragging about that. That's not cool. I wish it wasn't like that, but I know that people only criticize out of a place of insecurity. So I try to take, and of course the internet makes people so bold, you know, like you would never say that to my face, but you can type it and feel cool about like anonymously being mean. But it, for me, it's just like, they're just insecure. They, you know, if I don't like something on the internet or something someone's doing, I generally just scroll bye. I just don't mind my business, you know? And so the fact that they're taking the time out of their day to say something, whether it's in person or on the internet, it, to me, it's like, I feel honored.
Well, you make a good point, because we can be our worst critic.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I'm not, and it's not a good thing. Like, we shouldn't right. do that on ourselves. Right. But also, I just think, like, if everything you're about to say to me, I've probably said it to myself before you did. So, thank you, but this has been said and done.
Or I'm dealing with it right now.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
What is something you would like people to know about your music?
Oh, well, I know that, like, something that I struggle with in my own music making journey is cheesiness. And I, like, as I create music, I know that the songs that I put out sometimes can have a little cheese on them. And it doesn't bother me really, but there's a reason that I don't put out the deeper songs, or I haven't yet. And it's because I haven't felt released to release those ones yet. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to my songwriting style, I'm putting out what I think is commercially viable, what you're going to be able to vibe to, what you as a listener are going to be able to relate to. And not everything that I've written ever is relatable. And not everything I've written about, you know, carries the commercial viability that some of the stuff I put out does. So I want people to know that even though I do write songs that are a little bit more like Christian radio friendly at this season of my life, there's so much more to me than that. And if you follow me on any socials, you'll know that I'm pretty real and honest and transparent. And I just hope that people can see through some of the lighter songs that I put out there and see the real person kind of behind them, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, I think there's a time to release whatever it is that you're writing. And I mm-hmm. think that's what I'm hearing from you, is that whatever is out now, it's because that's what perhaps the Lord has told you to release right now. And that there will be a time that the deeper songs will be released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not, they're not going to be for everyone. We're mm-hmm. out right now are very much like, everybody can listen. Everybody can feel encouraged. They're very like mm-hmm. K-Love. Mm-hmm. And I love this season, because it's really fun to be able to, mm-hmm. to do that and offer that for people. Especially in Canada, because we don't have that big of, I would say, a pool to draw from. So we're just kind of keeping like, I'm adding them in there and in the rotation, and it's just adding, and it's cool. But maybe there is a time coming, whenever that happens, where the Lord will release me to put out the things that have been on my heart for the last several years. And not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to vibe with it. And that's okay. It's mm-hmm. fine.
Exactly. And we're not here really to please, you know, people. We're here to just, we're please God, you know, we're God pleasers. I know that your song, No Place Here, I was listening to it and I really liked the lyrics. I mean, you mentioned that you weren't made to live to be afraid.
Yes.
I mean, those are like, you know, you're just telling the devil off here. You know who you are in Christ Jesus, And you're walking by faith, and then you're like speaking to the enemy, you know, fear, you have no place here.
Yeah.
And you have a way of saying it that is so graceful. And so, I should say, probably that's the best word, is so graceful. And I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing that she's able to say it that way. But you have such deep meaning with it at the same time.
Oh, that's so, when we were writing the song, Bailey Hager and I were writing this, we literally, there are verse, like scriptural references for every line of this song. So I'm not just like putting this song out and saying like, what do you think of the song I made? It's like, this song carries so much authority, and you can sing it over yourself and over people. And like, it's so powerful.
It is so powerful. And speaking of you giving hope and encouragement, I mean, that is such a wonderful song right there. Like you said, if people just sing it and listen to it over and over, and even just say the lyrics, sing the lyrics, I think that they could get so much encouragement in that and so much strength, because we know that those lyrics are from the Word of God.
Yes, so good.
And that brings hope. Hope, mm-hmm. you know, in Jesus through the music, through your music. Mm. Eleni, what is something that perhaps you have never shared about yourself in an interview that you want people to know?
Ooh, this is such a good question. Actually kind of caught me off guard. Okay. Something I've never shared about myself. I don't know if I've ever gone into the fact that I struggled with homosexuality for a lot of years in my like later childhood to early to teens, pretty much from like probably the age of 9 or 10 until, I mean, like, it's still something that I deal with. Like, I didn't like magically become healed of some of like a lifetime of struggle. And of course, we don't have time for me to go into my whole thing, but like, I was sexually abused when I was young. And so like, I really just had an identity crisis for a lot of years. And so I don't know if it's like kosher for me to call it this, but like, it's kind of just been my demon for a long time. And it's just been something that I've always dealt with, but then I acted on it and kind of built my lifestyle around that when I was in my teen years. And I think it's more common than we say it is for a Christian person to struggle with like same-sex attraction or just having an identity crisis in their sexuality. Like, I think because we make such a big deal about it, about other people, and we condemn them and we want them to, you know, we want to fight for their souls and we want them to be saved. Like, I don't feel like people that are in the church or serving God, I don't know if they feel comfortable enough yet to say like, I'm actually dealing with this. Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense.
Not like, I guess to share it and just to say like, I'm good. I mean, I'm happily married and have kids and like my life is, and I serve the Lord, but it's something that I have to keep in check. Does that make sense? I have to ask the Lord to say like, okay, help me to like heal me from the inside today. I am dying to myself today. I am placing myself on the cross. I'm saying I am crucifying my flesh as Paul commands us to do through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And so God, I'm dying daily. Today I choose to take these desires and these things that aren't natural and that aren't necessarily something that I should be dealing with, and I'm giving them to you. I'm surrendering that. I'm just like going to live this day in your word and with your spirit guiding me, and that's enough. And you know, some days are better than others, and I say that because like it's still something I deal with every day, but it's not, definitely not anywhere near what. It's just like, I'm just saying, it's normal, I think, within the church, and we just don't talk about it. There are statistics that I don't have in front of me right now, so I don't want to misquote, but there are statistics that talk about same-sex attraction within individuals in the church, and it's not uncommon. Like, let me just say that. So if you feel like you're kind of dealing with that and that's something that has you bound, because that is what I would probably call it, you need to talk to someone, you need to pray, you need to be held accountable, you need to do the things and like find healing from that. And it's a daily thing. It's not a magic, you know, rub the lamp and one day you're just healed. It's like, I mean, there's room for that, and I'm sure it's happened to people, but it's not as common. So that's something that I really want to probably share more about in the future. I don't necessarily feel called to do that right in this season, but yeah, I don't know. Look at us. I'm unlocking a can of worms.
Well, thank you so much for being so open about it. And you're taking it to the right person. That's the Lord, because he's our healer. He's our way maker, our miracle worker, and our promise keeper. He promises to take care of his children. And so he is the one that's going to heal you inside out. Eleni, I would like to end this interview with you giving a personal message of hope and encouragement to people who are tuning in right now and who are experiencing, let's say they're turning away from the Lord or they're mad at the Lord for whatever reason. You speak to them from your heart.
Well, let me start off by saying, if you're angry at the Lord, you're allowed to be angry at the Lord. The Bible tells us that we can be angry. It just says that we shouldn't sin. I think is a very natural part of being human. And it's an emotion that the Lord actually gave to us to feel. And so I would think that being angry is probably necessary in your journey. And I would also say that we're compared, the metaphors that we see within scripture is being joint heirs with Christ and God as our Father. You see that father-child metaphor throughout the scripture. And don't tell me that there's never been a time where you've been angry and you've wanted to walk away or leave home from, you know, your loving Father. So it's very natural. And I just want to remind you that as you deal with those natural emotions, just take them to the Lord. I know it's weird to say, God, I'm so mad at you right now. I'm so angry. This makes no sense. Why do I have to go through this? Why the person that, you know, is an atheist that hates you and despises you and curses you out down the street, they're rich and they're amazing and life is looking so good for them right now. Why do I have to deal with this? Well, let me say, it rains on the just and on the unjust. So as you're dealing with that rainfall, give that back to the Lord. Say, God, I'm mad at you. I don't like this situation. I'm upset. Help me to work through this anger. And the Lord, so many times in my own walk with him, has given me tools in such unsuspecting ways, you know, whether it's like a word from a friend or a sermon on Sunday from my pastor or just something like on the radio, a song on the radio that just like brings healing to my soul that I didn't even realize that I was really looking for. But God knew that I needed that. And so an encouragement to you, like I said, take it to the Lord. Also keep your ears to the ground. And be willing to listen for his voice. Be willing to listen for the tools that he has for you. And in my case, a lot of times it's music. Turn on your radio, your Christian radio. Go on like a Spotify playlist, like songs for being angry at God. I'm sure there's a playlist out there somewhere. There is some weird playlist on Spotify. Songs for when you feel discouraged and disappointment. Like put on something that will feed your soul, kind of take your mind off of what's going on and just allow the God-breathed music or the God-breathed message or whatever you're listening to, let that just sink in and let it fester and take root and dig up the roots of bitterness and anger that you have in there. I hope that made sense. I jumped all over the place, but yeah, it's something that I deal with often enough. So I feel like to answer that question, I probably have enough instances under my belt, and it happens so quick when you're tuned in to his voice and when you know what to kind of listen and look for, that healing or that surrender, it comes so quickly if you're looking for it. So just tune your ears, tune your eyes, and yeah, God's got really good things for you. He's not done with you yet.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Global Gospel Worship Radio with Marina Maria, where all the nations praise the Lord with Christian international music and radio programs. For more information about our radio ministry, please go to globalgospelworshipradio.org. And now we'd like to bless you with this scripture from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thanks for listening.